Okay, this is the 26th of April, 1954. I want to talk to you now about the general handling of a pre-clear, what you do when you do it. First, goals. Here we have this composite being. He's a somethingness, he's a nothingness. He is in continuous contact with empty space and solid forms and fluid energies. He's able to duplicate, he's able to produce space, he's able to handle energy, he's able to actually make objects. He's able to create, he's able to destroy, and he certainly is surviving. Well, what are we going to do with this fellow? Basically, we're trying to pick up his level of knowingness. That's what we're really trying to do. But below that level, when we have to do with space, energy, masses, objects, and so forth, we are trying to get him to be willing to assume any viewpoint in the whole universe. We're trying to get him willing to assume any viewpoint in the universe. We went over this about glasses, an individual who is unwilling to see is an individual who is unwilling to assume a viewpoint. Person goes around with a pair of glasses on, and you process him and process him and process him. Oh, sure, you're getting his ideas shifted around, you're getting him changed, but he has not yet become willing to accept the viewpoint of himself, his own viewpoint. He's still wearing glasses. He doesn't want a blurred viewpoint, and this protest against the blurred viewpoint makes his eyes more and more blurred. Any optometrist can tell you that the more glasses you fit on people, the more glasses you're going to fit on people. The glasses themselves are a protest against a viewpoint. They're also an effort to protect the eyes, which is a protection of a viewpoint. They're an invisible barrier. But it's an unwillingness to assume a viewpoint. Now, how does this all work out for an auditor? It works out that an auditor progresses a case as far as he is able to make the case tolerant of other viewpoints than his own. This would sound to you as though nobody would be well unless he was out of valence into everybody else's valence over the whole universe. That doesn't happen to be true. That's the bottom of the tone scale. The individual's compulsively out of valence on his own choice. He could be in anything's, anybody's valence, assuming any spot in space to view from, or to create any spot in space to view from. And it tells you very, very adequately what is the value of ethics and human decency and so forth. Are these things all kind of low scale and kind of no good? And is that individual best off who is the most cruel and selfish and so on? Well, the moment that you really establish in the field of your own knowingness this fact about viewpoints, all those questions about ethics, mores, blow up. They all blow up. What is the optimum nature for man? What is it? Cruelty? Force? Meanness? Viciousness? Sweetness and light? What is it? If you've ever known anybody who was obsessively cruel, you might also know this, that he sure wouldn't permit anybody to be cruel to him. You ever notice that? I can imagine back in the medieval times when they had these boys in charge of these torture chambers, that if you had approached any one of those torturers with a good hot iron, he would have pleaded very, very hard with you. I dare say he would have abased himself. Of course, we can talk about the dead-dead-X overt act motivator sequence and so forth, but this is just phenomena. The fact of the matter is that an individual who is motivator-hungry has blocked himself off from assuming too many viewpoints by creating too many motivators. He's knocked off too many people. He's killed too many back along the track. He's been too cruel, too mean. And he finally gets to the point where he realizes that he has just shut off any idea of having feminine viewpoints or masculine viewpoints or viewpoints of horses or dogs or anything else. Why? He was cruel to all of these beings. And so, if he assumes their viewpoints, he assumes the viewpoint of something that has having cruelty done to it. So he can't assume this viewpoint. And so he feels, though, that there must be some mechanism by which he can sort of cave things in on himself so he can get himself up to a point where he can have those viewpoints back. Well, the best way to do that is to be motivator hungry. That is to say, let himself be hammered and pounded and chewed up and pushed in on and so on. Well, this is covered elsewhere at much greater length. You'll find many a preclear comes to you simply is motivator hungry. He really isn't aberrated as you would think of aberration. He's just so motivator hungry that he wants you to key in a lot of engrams on him so he'll get a lot of somatics. He's trying to equalize this problem here of viewpoints. He wants you to beat him up real bad. The truth of the matter is, if you were to simply haul off and slug him every time he came to a session, he would probably go away feeling much better. You see? He's trying to prove many things, amongst them that you can tolerate being slugged as hard as he has slugged people. See, he's trying to prove this. So he lets himself get slugged. Overt act motivator sequences, in terms of viewpoints, become very interesting, but that's only one set of phenomena. The point is that you want your preclear to be able to tolerate any viewpoint in the whole universe. And he should be able to tolerate it with the idea that he might be inhabiting just that viewpoint forever on. Take the viewpoint now of a bacteria in a cesspool. Get the idea now being nothing but that for the next couple of centuries. Get that idea? Your preclear's having a rough time. Says, ooh, no, terrible. Gosh, no. Well, that's the surest cure, because if he keeps saying no, I mean the surest road downward. If he keeps saying, no, bacteria, the idea of bugs and disease and no, not for me. Well, one day, so he's a bacteria. He resists it, you see. He doesn't want that viewpoint, which is what, then? Now, get this. A viewpoint makes space, doesn't it? All right. If he doesn't want that viewpoint and doesn't want that viewpoint, his own viewpoint is collapsing in all the time, isn't it? He's trying to get back away from that viewpoint, which extends the space commanded by the other viewpoint. It extends the space of the unwanted viewpoint. Pulling back from a viewpoint then extends the space of an unwanted viewpoint. You could see this in a graph. Do you see this? Get a mental picture of that. You've got Bill, and Bill keeps pulling back because he doesn't want Joe's viewpoint. And of course, he is extending all the time. He's extending Joe's viewpoint. Well, he gets the idea finally that there's only one viewpoint left in the world. Well, it's because that's the only space. See, the only space left in the world is being made by Joe. In order to have any space at all, he has to be Joe. And there is the basic mechanism behind the winning valence. In order to have any space at all, he eventually has to assume the viewpoint which he's been negating against. And that's the mechanism, the winning valence. Now, if you understand that, you'll see how your preclear, being up against a, quote, detestable person, has eventually withdrawn, pulled back from, jockeyed around with that other viewpoint, until another viewpoint apparently is the only thing that's making space anywhere around him. So in order to have any space, he has to flick over and be that other viewpoint, and we get a change of valence. That which men fear, they become. That's a cinch. That which men resist, they become. Now, you know the Christian idea, turn the other cheek? Well, let's get a comparable idea in Scientology. Not comparing Scientology to Christianity, but let's get the comparable idea. The Christian idea of turn the other cheek had a little truth in it. Let's get the comparable idea, and that is assume the other viewpoint. No more vicious and horrible person could possibly be alive than one who was willing to assume any viewpoint whatsoever. The messed universe has rigged up more fairy tales to condemn people who would do this. Why, the dog. Everything was going along and started to go sort of in reverse where he was, so he just changed his viewpoint. Kill him. The Khan is king, and the Khan is king, and long live the Khan, long live the Khan, long live the Khan. The Khan squared comes along and kills the Khan, so he says, long live Khan squared, long live Khan squared. He doesn't give a damn who's king. He just soon be king as not. Well, you say, well, look, he doesn't get into many games that way. He sure doesn't get in much trouble either. But if Khan squared suddenly finds out that this fellow was saying, long live the Khan, why, Khan squared is immediately upset by this. You see, the messed universe really wouldn't be here at all unless people didn't object to shifting viewpoints. People insist continually on a persistent viewpoint. They say you must have the same viewpoint over and over, day after day, year after year, century after century, and if they could enforce it, they would put you into solid concrete and give you just the one viewpoint at the center of the solid concrete and say, there you are, and you would certainly better stay there, or we'll get impatient with you. You can't control anybody who won't assume the same viewpoint continuously. Now, in essence, what are we fighting then on this top of the curve, create, survive, destroy? What are we fighting? As an auditor, we're actually resisting something else. We're resisting a persistence. Here, this pre-clear sits there, and he won't change his ideas, and he won't change his ideas, and he won't change his ideas, and he won't change his ideas. What's he really doing? He's persisting in the same viewpoint. Now, viewpoint could mean opinion, but it actually means a point from which one views. And the fact that one is viewing things from a point, that itself creates space. There is no space without a view. I mean, if one didn't view, if there weren't viewpoints, there wouldn't be any space. All right, here's our problem with the pre-clear. He's sitting there, won't change his viewpoint, won't change his viewpoint. Well, supposing you just start to straight wire him. Let's say you ran technique Z and technique Alpha and technique Q and technique Alpha and all sorts of techniques on this pre-clear, and he just stirring the energy round and round and round and round, and he's still wearing glasses. His eyesight's still the same. He isn't getting any perception increases and decreases. Nothing like this. Oh, he's just sitting there stirring energy. He probably has a machine going, which he has set up sometime or another to get him out of a theta trap. And all it does is sit there and dig. And all really you're doing is you've got your pre-clear sitting there watching this machine dig in a mass of energy. He won't get any place. Every once in a while I see an auditor working hard, earnest and very, very alert on the ball, doing everything he's supposed to do, he thinks, working with a pre-clear who was doing this trick. One of these machines is just shoveling universes around, shoveling this around, shoveling that around. Just an automaticity going on. And the pre-clear fully believes he's being audited for the good reason that somatics turn on and off. He sees changes in his perceptic field. Sure he does. If you dumped a ton of molasses in front of him, he'd see a different set of molasses, wouldn't he? He'd see a ton of molasses. In other words, he'd sure get a perception change. Well, he's working on a machine there that is just simply shoveling the molasses around. It'll shovel them in and shovel it out and so on. No increase in case level. You want to watch this pre-clear that's doing this to you. How do you know he's doing it to you? Well, he didn't get well in 10 minutes, so he's doing it to you. I mean, let's just be completely extreme about the whole thing. Let's be completely unreasonable. If he didn't get completely well and clear in 10 minutes, then he's just shoveling energy around and he's dodging. You could take the completely unreasonable attitude as not. You'd get a long ways if you did this. You would. You'd get a long ways if you did this. A completely unreasonable attitude as an auditor. That it's a personal affront that he didn't get cleared in 10 minutes. He's gone through a little opening procedure. You said be 3 feet back of your head, duplicate the room several times, duplicate nothing several times. Okay, now grab on the two back corners of the room. Now give me some places where you're not. Okay, now how's your perception?
It's all black. Oh, you dirty dog. Here I've given you some of the best seconds of my life. And you're not cleared. Well, of course, if he said, well, his perception's fair and so forth, you just run him on through a two-minute grand tour, you know? Sun, moon, earth, sun, moon, earth, sun, moon, earth, sun, moon, earth, but in the center of the sun, center of the moon, center of the earth. Got that? Okay. Be outside the earth, inside the earth, 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 sun, moon, 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 outside the sun, inside the sun, outside the sun, inside the sun, outside the sun, inside the sun, inside the moon, outside the moon, inside the sun. Okay, take a dive through Mars. Oh, you bopped. Well, let's get back up and dive real slow down to the surface till you establish where the force green area is. That's right. I go on through it, and I go on through the rest of the Mars and out the other side. Good. You did that. Swell. Be in center of Mars, outside of Mars, center of Mars, outside of Mars, center of Mars, outside of Mars. Okay. Duplicate yourself several times. Pull in four or five universes on yourself. Now, throw them away. Now, duplicate all the universes you're mixed up in. Now, separate them all. Okay, that's good. Now, take any viewpoint you please. Now, take a look around. Now, take the viewpoint inside of a pretty girl's head. Now, make her swear. Oh, she did. Good. Now, be 3 feet back of her head. Be 3 feet back of your chair. Thank you very much. Pay the cashier $25. That's the way a case ought to work, see? They don't. It's a personal affront. It means that they're running down your ability and your magnetism. They're running down your understanding. They're avoiding you. They don't mean business. They came in there to be hit, be kicked in the shins. They're motivator hungry. They don't know where they are. They don't want to know where they are. They're uncooperative. Hell with them. Complete. I mean, you get a lot further with a completely unreasonable attitude. Sure, you're perfectly willing to be a pre-clear that can't see, can't feel, can't hear. As a matter of fact, mock yourself up as one. You do. Now mock yourself up as one that can. Okay, you can. All right, that's fine. I mean, if you had this completely unserious sort of an outrageous attitude about it, oh, you'd be a hell of an auditor, believe me. The funny part of it is years ago, I had a technique, you might say, whereby I asked a fellow to do this, to do that, do something else, do something else. He couldn't do these things, see? I'd get up. I'd take a look at him. I would be stunned. I would be amazed. I would be shocked. I'd walk out on the front steps, and I would sit down with my chin in the palm of my hand just to get some air, just to cool off. This guy'd be sitting there wondering what the hell was going on. I finally just give him a long communication like, well, how can you live? Frankly, how can you live? What business you got coming to see me? How could you walk up the steps? Now, you want to try this over again? See if you can do a little better? All right, sit down in the chair. Okay. Shut your eyes. Now, let's take a look at any scene you can see. Okay? Let's take a look at your mother's face. Yeah, I can see it. Take a look at your father's face. Oh, no, he was... What? Take a look at your father's face again. You can't see your father... Oh, my God! Walk outside and sit down on the steps again. Actually, every now and then I'd get a pre-clear who thought he was going to run me around in circles, see? And I have no tolerance with his aberration, no patience with it or anything else. Now, you got to be careful how you work this. If you did this to a psycho, he'd just sit there in the middle of the floor and say, well, I really am crazy, and go on in and spin. But this is just a little gag technique. It has no great workability at all. The only thing it does is crowd on the force. It's a very good attitude for you as an auditor to have, not necessarily good for the pre-clear. You understand that there could be processes that were terribly good for the auditor and awfully hard on the pre-clear. Shooting is one of them. All right. When we go into this problem of viewpoints, what was wrong with this fellow who wouldn't see his mother's face or father's face or something of the sort? He was just unwilling to assume that viewpoint. He was scared something had happened to him. And in view of the fact all you're trying to do is get somebody to change his mind, there are many ways that you can make somebody change his mind. Now, how could you sneak up on this? How could you sneak up on it? Okay, now let's see. Let's check over some people that you wouldn't mind, if you had to, if you had the opportunity, let's check over some people you wouldn't mind creating. Check over some people that you wouldn't be ashamed of having created. Come on now, let's get one. And the case that's having a rough time will just say, my God, somebody I wouldn't mind having created. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, nobody human. No, dogs, no. Horses, oh, damn horses. Let's see here. Anything like... Finally, you'll say... I wouldn't have minded having created Christ. Something on that. All right, let's get another one. Let's see. Oh, maybe Thomas Edison. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having created Thomas Edison. By the way, your preacher about this time is liable to come into the possession of some of the most horrible somatics that he's ever had, just on that process. Just check off some persons you wouldn't mind having created. A person who can't assume other viewpoints readily, of course, can't think of any. He doesn't want to have created any of them, with a whole lot of them. See? Now, there's one method of sneaking up on a case. Another method, what would be the, just going in for gunshot methods, what would be the super method of all methods? What would it be safe for you to know? That is a straight wire question. I asked a person this question 4 or 5 times just in fun one night when I was experimenting a little bit. And I just asked him this question in fun, and he went over, and I didn't think he was getting anything out of it at all, but he was sick the next day. He called up for some sympathy, and so I said, you don't mean it. So I straight-wired him a little while longer, and we ran a somatic on through whatever had happened on the thing, and straightened him up. But that's a sneaker. It's funny that there are several of these little sneakers around that you could ask a preclear and he would innocently answer them, and it'd make him sicker than a horse. Horses are ordinarily sick. I know that by reading colloquial dictionaries. Everybody gets sicker than a horse. So obviously horses are quite sick. Anyway, we get into a point where preclears are as sick as they will not assume other viewpoints. And their ARC triangle is as good as they are willing to assume other viewpoints. And their freedom is as great as they do not add conditions to viewpoints. Every time you add a condition, it's a symptom of fear. So, there you are. That means somebody's withdrawing in the face of many other viewpoints. Sooner or later, he's going to have to assume those viewpoints in order to be alive at all. You might say extreme individuation is produced by nothing more nor less than being presented with detestable viewpoints. A person becomes an individual and becomes individuated, you might say, to that degree. This is stimulus-response individuation, you know, compulsive, obsessive individuation, to the degree that he has been confronted with detestable viewpoints. That would make the greatest man and the most famous man alive that man who had been consistently confronted with the most detestable viewpoints. No Thetan in his right mind, unless he is well outside the body, would ever think of making a body famous. Or terrifically individual, or enormously individuated, because that's silly. That's a silly thing to do. Set yourself up as a target. Well, you sure must be wanting in randomity to set yourself up as a target for all existence. Anybody that cares to review this should look over some of the more aberrated personalities of our times. Well, let's take one. Let's take Eisenhower. Oh, it surprises you. I mean, he's currently the President of the United States of America. Now, as the President of the United States, of course he is the President of the United States. It has nothing to do with his official position. It just has to do with his personal beingness. Here is a man who is a very small man, and he pushed himself up through all the ranks, and he pushed himself on up further and further and further and further and further. Well, the further he gets up the line, the less rational he operates. look at his career. You find out that he's now politically taking his finger off of his number occasionally. He gave a speech on the radio the other day trying to convince everybody that an economic depression had set into the United States. Did you hear that speech? Fascinating. There is no depression in the United States. The only way you would really get into power in the United States is to produce one. Fascinating. We got atom bombs, H-bombs going off down here in the South Pacific like chains of Chinese firecrackers. Why? You got a cloudy day today, by the way. Just because of the concussion wave of the last A-bomb that went off. You think I'm kidding and that people are being real hashed up about the weather and so on. The government's trying to get some backlash on this and saying an atom bomb can't affect the weather. The amount of rain that can be induced by target practice with naval cannon is quite measurable. What is it all about? I mean, you just send condensation and condensation rarefaction waves through the atmosphere at a great rate of speed, and you naturally will produce changes in the particles of the atmosphere. This isn't even vaguely difficult to understand. So you explode something only 4,000 or 5,000 miles from here of the sudden shock, enough to wipe out a whole island, and it'll naturally throw a concussion wave through the earth, much less through the air. There was a mountain that blew up down in the South Pacific that actually didn't blow up with any greater Krakatoa, I think the name of the mountain was. It blew up with considerable violence. It simply exploded. But actually there was really no more mass involved than was involved with the disappearance of that atoll that went up with the last H-bomb. It's about the same volume of mass, and yet the world had red sunsets after Krakatoa exploded for about 15 or 20 years. It took that long for the dust to settle out of the atmosphere. Well, if you don't think that an H-bomb can change the weather for you and give you 5 or 6 hours after its explosion even, a cloudy day whereby you had a clear, bright day before, you'd better go back and read about Krakatoa, what it did to the weather. Boy, it changed weather all over the place. Actually, if you'd been very alert and had known the exact instant the bomb was going off, and you had experienced, you know, and known the exact moment, your time, that that last H-bomb was going off, if you'd been very, very careful to be very observing, if you'd stood in your bare feet someplace where the ground is not otherwise moving, you could have felt the thing go off.